This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Until Friday Night by Abby Glines. Read by Olivia Song and Sebastian York.
To Kiki Maria and her beautiful daughter Mila. You always said you couldn't wait to share my books with your daughter, Kiki. This one is for both of you. Your beautiful spirit lives on. Remember, Mila, that your mother is always with you. She's in your heart. Ain't She Sweet? Chapter 1. Maggie. This wasn't home. Nothing ever would be again. And besides, I didn't want a home. The word came with memories too painful to think about. I knew my Aunt Coralie and Uncle Boone were watching me closely as they led me through the house. They wanted me to like it here. There was a certain hopefulness in their eyes. I didn't remember what hope felt like. It had been so long since I'd hoped for anything.
"We gave you a room upstairs. I painted it a pretty cotton candy blue,"
Aunt Coralie informed me cautiously. "I remembered that you liked blue." It's true that I had liked blue a few Christmases ago. Had even worn all blue one year. I wasn't necessarily a fan of it now, though. I followed both my aunt and uncle up the stairs. The family photos lining the wall made me turn my head back around and stare straight ahead. I'd had those once, too. Photos that my mother proudly displayed on the walls of our home. But those photos had been lies. The smiles were never real.
"Here it is,"
Aunt Coralie announced as she stopped halfway down the hall and opened the door to a large bedroom. Other than the blue walls, everything else was white. I liked it. If I weren't afraid of my own voice, I'd tell her thank you. Instead, I put down the backpack from my shoulders, then turned and hugged her. That would have to be enough.
"Well, I certainly hope you like my room," a deep voice drawled from the doorway. "Brady, don't," Uncle Boone said in a stern voice. "What? I was just being nice," he replied. "Kinda."
I only remembered my cousin Brady a little. He had never played with me at family events, was always running off with one of the buddies he'd brought with him. Now he was leaning against the door frame of the bedroom, brown hair falling into his eyes, a smirk on his face. He didn't seem happy. Oh, God, had they given me his room? That couldn't be good. I didn't want to take his room.
"Brady's just being a brat," Aunt Coralie explained quickly. "He's perfectly happy about moving to the attic room. He's been at us for 2 years to fix up that space for him so he'd have somewhere more private."
A large hand landed on my shoulder as Uncle Boone came to stand beside me.
"Son, you remember Maggie?"
he said in a voice that didn't leave room for argument. Brady was staring at me. He looked annoyed at first, but his expression suddenly softened into something resembling concern.
"Yeah, I remember her."
Uncle Boone continued.
"You'll need to show her around at school on Monday. Y'all are in the same grade, and we made sure they put her in several of your classes so you could help her out."
I had a feeling Brady already knew all this. The information was for me. Brady sighed and shook his head.
"Y'all don't even know,"
he muttered before walking off.
"I'm sorry about him," Aunt Coralie said. "He's become so moody, and we don't know what to do with him half the time."
Even if I did speak, I didn't have a response for that. She squeezed my arm.
"We're gonna let you get settled in. Unpack and rest if you need. If you want company, I'll be in the kitchen, cooking dinner. You're welcome to go anywhere in the house you'd like. Make yourself at home."
There was that word again. Home. My aunt and uncle left me alone, finally, and retreated down the hall. I stood in the pretty blue room and realized, much to my surprise, that I already felt safe. I'd thought the comfort of safety was long gone for me.
So, you really don't talk?
Brady's voice filled the room, and I spun around to see my cousin back in the doorway. I really didn't want him to dislike me or be annoyed about my being here, but I wasn't sure how to convince him that I'd keep to myself, that I wouldn't bother him or change his life.
Shit, this ain't gonna be easy. You're...
He paused and let out a laugh that didn't sound like he meant it.
This shit is gonna be worse than I thought. At least you could have helped me out and been ugly.
Excuse me? Brady frowned.
Just don't draw attention to yourself. My mama finally got the daughter she never had, but it don't make shit easier for me. I have a life, you know.
I simply nodded. I was sure he had a life. He was tall with dark hair and light hazel eyes, and his wide shoulders hinted at the muscles underneath his t-shirt. No doubt girls loved him. I had no intention of being in his way, but I could see how my coming into his home and taking his room would make it seem otherwise. And now his parents had me in his classes, too. But I'd prove he had nothing to worry about. I picked up my backpack again and took out the pad and pen I always kept with me.
"What are you doing?"
he asked, clearly confused. I quickly wrote, "Promise I won't be in your way. Don't expect you to help me at school. Just let your parents think you are, and I'll go along with it. Sorry I took your room. We can switch back if you want." I handed the notepad to Brady and let him read it. When he finished, he sighed deeply and handed the pad back to me.
"You can keep the room. Mom's right, I like the attic. I was just being an ass. You think you won't need me at school, but you will. Can't be helped."
And with that, he walked away. I stood at the doorway as he made his way down to the kitchen. I started to shut the door when I heard Brady's voice travel up the stairs.
"What's for dinner?"
he asked. "Chicken spaghetti. I thought Maggie might like it since it's your favorite," Aunt Coralie replied. Then, dropping her voice a little, "I wish you'd take the time to get to know her."
"Just talk to her. She, wrote to me,"
he replied. "And? Ain't she sweet?" Aunt Coralie sounded so sincere.
"Sure, Mom. She's real sweet."
But Brady didn't sound very convinced.
Told you to run. Chapter 2. West. I was getting drunk. That was my main goal tonight. Slamming my truck door, I headed toward the field where I could already hear the music blasting and see the bonfire lighting the darkness. This was our last Friday night before football became our lives for the next 3 months. Everyone would be celebrating. Couples would be hooking up in the back of pickup trucks. Everyone would have a red solo cup full of beer in their hands. And there would be at least one fight over a girl before the night was over. It was the end to our summer and the beginning of our senior year. But I was going to need a beer or six to celebrate. Watching my dad throw up blood as my mother wiped his forehead with pure fear in her eyes, that had been too damn much. I should have stayed home, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. Every time he got sick, the little boy inside me came out, and I hated that feeling. I loved my dad. He'd been my hero my entire life. How the hell was I supposed to lose him? Shaking my head, I ran my hand through my hair and pulled hard. I was ready for the football field, and next Friday night I'd be back in my pads and helmet. But I wanted to feel some pain now. Anything to numb the reality of my life. My phone started vibrating and I pulled it out of my pocket. Every time it rang and I wasn't home, terror gripped me so strongly I felt sick. Seeing Rayleigh, my girlfriend's name, was a relief. It wasn't Mom. Nothing was wrong. Dad was still safe at home. "Hey," I said, wondering why she was calling me. She knew I was headed to the field party. "You coming to get me?" she asked, sounding annoyed. Didn't ask me to come get you. I'm already at the party.
Are you serious? I'm not coming if you don't get me, West.
She was pissed. But Rayleigh was normally pissed at me about something. I guess I'll see you later, then. Ain't in the mood for this tonight, Ray. Rayleigh had no idea about my dad. He didn't want people knowing how sick he was. We kept our mouths shut, and since the local hospital wasn't sufficient to treat advanced colon cancer, we took him to the hospital an hour away in Nashville. Usually you couldn't keep shit like this a secret in a small town, but we did for the most part. Made it easier that my mama didn't have many friends in Lawton. Never had. As a kid, I didn't get it, but now I did. My dad had been the golden boy in high school. He was Lawton's claim to fame after playing football at the University of Alabama and then going on to play for the New Orleans Saints. While my mother, she was a total princess. Her father pretty much owned most of Louisiana, and my father had fallen in love with her. But right after my dad blew out his knee, killing his career with the Saints, he found out he'd gotten his girlfriend pregnant. He married her against her family's wishes and brought her back here, to Alabama. The town saw it as he'd been their hero, and she'd stolen him from them. 17 years later, and they still kept her at a distance. But Mama didn't seem to care. She loved my dad. He and I, we were her world, and that was it for her.
Are you listening to me?
Rayleigh's high-pitched scream snapped me out of my thoughts. Rayleigh and I were a particular kind of couple. She liked being on my arm, and I liked the way her body looked. There was no love or trust between us. We had been dating for over a year, and she was easy to keep at a distance. And right now, that's all I had the time for. Listen, Ray, I'm getting a headache. I need a break. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about it next week, yeah? I didn't wait for her to respond, and hung up. I already knew it would be yelling and threats about how she'd go sleep with one of my friends. I'd heard it all before. I just didn't care. I picked up the pace and headed across the grass and between the trees to the open field where the parties always took place. The field belonged to Riker and Nash Lee's grandfather. They were cousins and both played on the team. Their grandfather had been letting people use this field for parties since his sons had been in high school. It was just on the outskirts of the town limits, and their grandfather's house was the closest thing to us, and even that was a good mile away. We could make plenty of noise and not worry about nosy neighbors watching our every move. I scanned the field and found Brady Higgins, my best friend since elementary school. He'd been passing me the football since we were in Pop Warner, best quarterback in the state, and he knew it. Brady held up a beer in greeting when he saw me coming toward him. He was sitting on the tailgate of his truck, which he'd driven up here so we could use the generator in the back to play music. Ivy Hollis was tucked between Brady's legs. No surprise. They'd been together a lot this summer. Ivy was a senior and head cheerleader and determined to claim Brady now that his ex-girlfriend had graduated and moved halfway across the country. About time you showed up, Brady said with a smirk, tossing me a can of beer. He rarely drank. It wasn't that he was against it, but he was determined to play at the University of Alabama next year. I had been too, once. Now I was just making it day to day, praying to God my dad didn't leave us. Beer had become a crutch for me at these field parties. The anxiety from home was all over me, and I knew it. I needed to numb my mind. I'm pretty sure Brady figured something was up and wanted me to tell him. Of all the women in town, his mama was the only one who was ever nice to my mother. She'd invited us to dinner many times over the years. She brought us red velvet cake during the holidays and always stopped and spoke to my mother at the games. I wondered if my mother had confided in Cora Lee. "Where's Rayleigh?" Ivy asked. I ignored her. Just because she was with Brady didn't mean I had to answer her nosy-ass questions. I turned my attention to Gunnar Lawton. Yeah, same damn name as the town's. The guy's great-great-great-grandfather founded it. They owned everything. He was one hell of a wide receiver, though, and around here, that was what counted most. You alone tonight, too? I asked, as I sank down on the bale of hay beside the truck. He chuckled.
You know better. I'm just trying to decide who I want, he replied with a smirk. All Gunnar had to do was crook his finger, and the girls came running. Sure, he was obnoxious about it, but when you're richer than God in a small town and one of the stars of the high school football team, you have a whole lot of power. And girls liked his looks, too. Let's talk football, Riker Lee announced as he walked into our circle and sat down on the tailgate beside Brady and Ivy. I'd rather talk about the fact that you shaved your hair, Brady replied with a grin. Last year, Riker had been determined to grow out his hair and get dreads. I'd been surprised to see he'd cut his hair short the first day of practice. He'd gone with his family to visit his grandmother in Georgia, so we hadn't seen him the last few weeks of summer. I got tired of it. I'll have dreads when I play pro. Right now, I don't need that shit, he replied, and ran his hand over his head. Looked like he was going to say something else, but then he stood up and just started staring out over the field and grinning like an idiot. Actually, screw football. I'd rather talk about who that is. I followed his gaze to see a face I didn't recognize. She was standing just on the outskirts of the party near the rows of trees. Long, dark brown hair hung in soft waves over her shoulders, and the prettiest green eyes I'd ever seen looked in our direction. I let my gaze move down to her mouth to see perfect, unpainted pink lips. Then there was her body. Holy hell, she made a sundress look good. Don't go there, Brady warned. I wanted to look at him, to read on his face why he was laying claim to the new girl when he had one tucked between his legs. But I couldn't stop looking at her. She seemed lost, and I was ready to go find her. Why, bro? She's hot as hell, and she looks like she needs me, Riker replied. She's my cousin, dipshit, Brady snapped. His cousin? Since when did he have a cousin? I tore my gaze off the girl to finally look at Brady. When did you get a cousin? He rolled his eyes. You've met her, like, years ago at one of my family Christmas things in Tennessee. She's living with us now. Just don't, okay? She's not... She's got some issues. She can't handle you, he said, then turned to look at Riker and added, or you. I can help with issues. I'm fucking great at that, Riker replied, a big grin on his face. I wasn't going to say the same thing. I had my own issues, and I needed an escape. Not more shit to deal with. Besides, her issues couldn't be as bad as mine. No one's could. Brady went on. She doesn't talk. She can't. I only brought her tonight because my mama made me. I told her she could stay with me, but she refused to. She's not all there, I don't think. I glanced back at her, but she was gone. So, Brady had a beautiful but crazy mute cousin. Weird. Shame. This year we get one new girl worth looking at, and she's your cousin and a mute, Gunnar said before drinking down the rest of his beer. Brady didn't like that comment. Didn't like it at all. I could see it on his face. Gunnar was right, though. We'd had the same girls in this town since elementary school. They were boring, superficial, and I'd slept with all the good-looking ones. No one was a distraction. They were all just annoying as hell. Gunnar stood up. Going to get another beer, he announced, then walked off. Gunnar was our security around here. If we got caught drinking, his daddy would have enough pull with the police to get us off the hook. I actually wondered if they already knew about it, and that was why they never drove out this way. My phone started ringing again, and my stomach automatically clenched. I quickly got it out of my pocket and saw my mama's name on the screen. Shit. Without any explanation to the guys, I just set my beer down and walked off before answering. Mama, everything okay? Oh, yes. Just wanted you to know I left you some fried chicken in the oven to keep it warm. Also, if you could stop by the Walmart and grab some milk on your way home, that would be good. I let out the breath I'd been holding. Dad was okay. Sure, yeah, Mama. I'll get the milk. You gonna be out late? She asked, and I noticed her voice was tense. There was something she wasn't telling me. Dad must be sick or hurting. I'll be home soon, I assured her. She let out a relieved sigh. Good. Well, you drive careful. Wear your seatbelt. I love you.
Love you too, Mama. I ended the call just as I got to where I'd parked my truck. I'd already been walking out, prepared to leave even before she'd asked me if I'd be home late. It was all getting worse. Dad was hardly able to get out of bed anymore. Motherfucking doctors couldn't do anything for him. My chest tightened, and it became hard to breathe. This had been happening more and more lately. It was like all my fears grabbed a hold of my throat and squeezed until I couldn't inhale. Anger began to pump through my veins. This wasn't goddamn fair. My dad was a good man. He didn't deserve this. God was up there just letting this shit happen. And my sweet mama, she needed my dad. She didn't deserve this either.
Fuck!
I roared as I slammed both hands down on the hood of my truck. This was destroying all of us, and I couldn't tell anyone. Dealing with sympathy from people who had no idea how this felt would be more shit I didn't need. A movement from the left caught my attention, and I jerked my head to see who had witnessed my breakdown. The sundress was the first thing I recognized. Her curvy body filled it out just perfectly. The girl was so lucky she couldn't talk. She didn't have to pretend for anyone. She didn't have to say the right thing or act a certain way. She tilted her head to the side as if she were studying me, deciding if I were dangerous or if I needed help. All that gorgeous hair and those full lips could certainly help. Help me forget for a moment. Forget this hell my life had become. I shoved off of my truck and walked over to her. I almost expected her to run. She didn't. I inhaled sharply. The tightness in my throat had eased some. "You like what you see?" I taunted her, hoping she'd run from me. She didn't deserve this. Using her to ease my pain wasn't right. And I was angry and couldn't control my emotions anymore. They stayed so raw all the time. Just like everyone else in my path, she was someone I was pushing away for her own safety. She didn't respond, but there was a clarity in her eyes. She wasn't off like Brady said. You could see that kind of thing in a person's eyes. But her eyes, they were almost too intense, too smart. "You just gonna stare at me like you want a taste and not speak? Kinda rude." My own meanness made me wince inside. My mama would be ashamed of me. This girl, though, she didn't do anything more than blink. She didn't back away, and she didn't make a sound. Brady hadn't been shitting us about one thing. She really didn't talk. But even without talking, she obviously wasn't interested in me. I wasn't used to that. Wasn't used to girls not wanting me to kiss them. I stopped in front of her and cupped her face in one of my hands. God, that face was something else. I had to touch her to see if she was real. The perfection seemed almost impossible. Everyone had physical flaws. I wanted to find hers. I used my thumb to brush her bottom lip. She wasn't wearing lipstick. She didn't need it. Those lips were already a pretty pink. "It's time you run along now," I warned her, even though I should have been the one to walk away. She stayed where she was, staring up at me, boldly, without flinching. The only thing that gave her away was the pulse in her neck. She was nervous, but she was either too scared or too curious to move. I took one more step until I was pressed up against her, and she was backed against the tree behind her. "Told you to run, sugar," I reminded her, just before I lowered my mouth to hers.
Don't Mind Me, Sugar. Chapter 3. Maggie. I was determined not to be a hindrance to Brady. Friday night, Aunt Coralie had forced him to take me to that party, and I used it as an opportunity to show him I wouldn't be a bother. Mostly, I sat in the dark by myself, away from everyone. Every 30 minutes or so, I'd check if Brady was still there or looking for me, and then I'd go back to my hiding spot. I really hoped this wasn't an every-weekend event. I didn't want to have to go through that every time Brady went to the field party. I preferred to stay in my room and read. Hanging out alone in a dark field wasn't exactly my favorite way to pass the time. Although, something happened that had certainly made it less
boring. Thinking of the place I'd claimed beside that tree made my cheeks flush. I'd gotten my first real kiss, and from a guy I didn't even know. He'd been so tall, and his hair was dark and curled at the ends. His face, it was like God had taken all the perfect features for man and put them together just for this guy. It hadn't been those things that made me stand there, though, after he warned me to go. It had been his eyes. Even in the darkness, I'd seen a heaviness there, a heaviness I'd never seen in anyone but myself. He'd told his mother he loved her on the phone. Then he'd hung up and cursed while hitting his truck. Anyone who talked to his mother that way couldn't be bad. He didn't scare me. But I was worried about him, so I stayed even when he told me to go. And then he'd kissed me. It had been rough at first, like he was trying to hurt me. But then he'd softened, and before I knew it, I was grabbing onto fistfuls of his t-shirt. My knees went weak, and I wasn't sure if I actually made a whimper or if it had just been in my head. I hoped it was in my head. Considering how abruptly he left me, I didn't want to have made a sound, and I wished I hadn't grabbed onto him. It ended as suddenly as it had begun. He didn't say a word when he backed away from me. He didn't look at me. Instead, he'd turned and stalked over to his truck and left. I had no idea who he was. All I knew was that he was beautiful and haunted, and he'd given me a first kiss to remember. 2 hours later, when Brady had finally decided to leave, he'd found me dozing on the ground under my tree. He'd been annoyed and hadn't said anything to me on the drive home. The kiss faded into the background as I focused on how to make my cousin not hate me. Sunday, when Brady had plans to go to a friend's house to swim, Aunt Coralie had tried to ship me off with him. But I'd written her a note telling her my period had started and I didn't feel like it, and she let me stay home. Brady ended up being gone all day. I was sure he was worried that if he came home, she would try to foist me on him all over again. Today I started school, and she gave Brady a to-do list all about me. I felt bad for him. You could see the frustration on his face. So I handed him a note as soon as we got there. I got this. Do what you do, and I'll show up in class. Just 'cause I don't talk doesn't mean I can't get around. I'll tell Aunt Coralie you did everything she said, but I don't want you taking me everywhere. I want to do this alone. He hadn't looked too convinced, but he nodded and took off, leaving me at the entrance of the school. Luckily, Aunt Coralie had prepared the front office for the fact I didn't speak. They were fine with me writing down everything I needed to say. They gave me my schedule and asked where Brady was. Apparently, Aunt Coralie had also told them Brady would be my guide. I lied and wrote down that he had gone to the restroom and was meeting me in the hallway. A small part of me, okay, a really big part of me, hoped I'd see the guy from the field party. I wanted to see him in the light. I wanted to see if he was okay. And I hoped maybe he'd want to see me. Once I had directions to my locker, I went to look for it, feeling accomplished. Actually, finding it was another thing entirely. With people filling the hallways, many of them in their lockers or in front of their lockers or making out against their lockers, I couldn't see the numbers. Finding 654 was basically impossible.
You good?
Brady's voice came from behind me, and I nodded, not wanting to tell him I wasn't exactly great and would probably be late for class.
"Where's your locker?"
he asked. I thought about how to answer that and just handed him the paper with my locker number on it.
"You already passed it,"
he replied, nodding back down the hall.
"Come on, I'll show you."
I didn't have time to write out an argument. Instead, I just followed him. He was going to help me anyway, and if I admitted it to myself, I needed his help. Unlike when I had walked down the hallway, fighting through the packed bodies, everyone created a path for Brady. It was like he was Moses and this was the Red Sea.
Move the makeout fest over about 5 inches. Maggie can't get in her damn locker,
Brady told a couple who was mid-grope session. Who's Maggie? The girl asked, turning to look at me. She had big brown eyes and an olive complexion. Her long black hair was even more striking.
My cousin, Brady replied, sounding annoyed.
You got a cousin? She asked, surprised. The guy's hands, which had previously been on the girl's bottom, moved to her hips, and he shifted her over. Before I could see the guy's face, Brady stepped back and held my locker open for me.
There you go. I'll be around if you need me again.
Then he left me there and walked away. I didn't make eye contact with or even look at the couple beside me. The girl giggled. Then I heard the guy whisper to her. The word mute was something I didn't miss. Apparently, Brady had told people I was mute. I guess at least I wouldn't have anyone trying to talk to me.
She don't talk?
The girl whispered back, loud enough for me to hear her. I quickly put my books in my locker before closing it, making sure to hold on to my textbook and a notebook for my first class. Determined not to look at the couple, I kept my head down. My gaze landed on the guy's hands, now gripping the girl's bottom again. I guess this was something I was gonna have to get used to. I stepped into the hallway without looking up, and a hard body hit me in the side, knocking me backward.
Shit, sorry,
a male voice said as I collided with the gropey makeout couple. Great.
You okay?
Asked the guy who ran into me. I looked up to see a pair of the clearest blue eyes I'd ever seen set against pretty mocha-colored skin. The combination was definitely striking, but unfortunately, he wasn't my mystery guy.
Watch it!
The girl behind me snapped, shoving me off her. The textbook and notebook in my hands fell to the floor, causing even more of a scene. I didn't like to draw attention, but that seemed to be all I could do.
Jesus, Rayleigh, I ran into her. Chill the fuck out,
the guy said as he bent down to get my books. I watched in fascination as large, well-defined muscles popped from his snug, short-sleeved shirt. Rayleigh laughed, but it sounded more like a wicked cackle than anything.
She's mute, Nash, and she's Brady's cousin, so you can stop with the chivalrous thing. She ain't your type.
Then, from behind me,
don't be a bitch, babe.
That voice. I froze. I knew that voice. No, don't let it be.
Brady's got a cousin?
Nash asked as he stood up and held my books out to me. I was afraid to turn around and look. Maybe I was mistaken. The guy making out with a girl beside me could not be the guy who kissed me Friday night. The guy who kissed me had been nice to his mother. Could a nice guy like that kiss another girl when he already had a girlfriend? Wasn't he a good guy deep down? I had convinced myself of that all weekend while I replayed our kiss over and over. I tried to look unaffected as I took my books from Nash and tucked them against my chest.
Yeah, he does. Surprise, surprise.
That voice again. It was him. Oh, God. It was so him. I dropped my gaze to my books. I didn't want to look at anyone. I knew my cheeks were pink. I just wanted to be alone and get over this surprise in private. My mystery guy continued,
she's something to look at, but Brady's made her completely off limits, so Ray is right. Let it go. I did.
But he hadn't stayed away. Did he know Brady had made me off limits when he kissed me? Was that why he was acting now like he didn't know me at all? What a jerk. I'd let him kiss me. What had I been thinking? I wasn't normally weak just because a guy had a pretty face. My father had a pretty face too, and not once had my mother been able to trust him. I was smarter than this. That was a mistake I wouldn't make again.
What's that supposed to mean, I did?
Rayleigh raised her voice and shoved off the guy. I moved out of her way.
She's something to look at. Like I said, he repeated.
He was being cruel to her on purpose and using me to do it. I hated cruelty and callous behavior. Anger simmered inside me. It was times like this I wanted to speak. No, I wanted to yell. But I wouldn't. My face was hot from embarrassment, fury, and disappointment. I wished Brady had waited on me. I didn't know which way I needed to go, and pulling out my school map in the middle of all this seemed impossible. I was trembling. I glanced down the hall both ways, trying to decide the best escape route.
She's mute!
The girl yelled, then let out an angry growl.
I don't know why I put up with you. I could have anyone, anyone, West. You realize that?
West. His name was West. A girl needed to know the name of her first kiss, yet I wish I didn't. I wanted to wash him and that night from my memory completely.
You couldn't have me. I don't do crazy,
Nash replied, and I glanced up at him. He winked, and there was an easy friendliness in his eyes. Nothing like what I had seen in West's. Why couldn't he have been my first kiss? West chuckled at Nash's reply.
I wouldn't want you, she spit. My daddy only lets me date white guys.
I tensed up. Had she really just said that? Nash wasn't all white, but he wasn't all black either. He was a beautiful color.
Aw, that's a shame, Nash replied, obviously amused. Guess your daddy's still sore that his white girlfriend married a black man. It's been years, Ray Lee. You really should move on. My mama sure has.
Okay, wow. Small towns were really, really small. Nash looked back at me.
You need help finding your first class?
He asked. But Ray Lee wasn't about to let it die.
Are you gonna allow him to talk to me that way?
She asked West.
You started it. He's just finishing it, West replied.
I am done, West,
she shouted, then stormed off. All I wanted was to get to my classroom. I reached for the map I'd stuck in my pocket and unfolded it to figure out where I was supposed to be. Forget my trembling hands. I wanted away from this immediately, away from West.
What class you got first?
Nash asked me.
She doesn't talk. Ray Lee wasn't shitting you, West said from behind me.
I really didn't want to look up at either of them, but I couldn't help myself. I glanced back at West. I had to be sure. The voice was the same, but I wanted to see his face. Deep down, I was still holding on to a small, slim hope that the boy who'd kissed me was better than this one standing behind me. Unfortunately, in the light, he was even more perfect than in the dark. I jerked my head back down to my map before he caught me looking at him. I hated him. I hated anyone who treated others as if their feelings didn't matter.
You born that way?
Nash asked me, and I wished he'd give up. I didn't know what to do with him. He was very nice, but I wasn't going to talk to him. Wes moved, and suddenly he was standing in front of me, looking completely bored. The fact that his girlfriend had just broken up with him and ran off didn't seem to rank on his importance scale. It took a cold person to react that way. I glanced at him and found his dark blue gaze on me. Long eyelashes framed his eyes. They weren't as startling as Nash's eyes. I was sure no one could have eyes as pretty as Nash's. But there was more there I had missed Friday night. Pain, fear, detachment. Again, the same thing I saw in my own eyes every time I looked in the mirror.
Fuck, she's prettier up close,
West said as he tilted his head to the side and studied me.
Makes me not care that she can't talk.
He was looking at me as if he hadn't held my face in his large hands Friday night. My stomach churned in a sick knot. I knew, demented and cruel. I'd lived it. I'd witnessed it. And I feared it. If it weren't for the pain and fear in his eyes, I'd have slapped him. But I just wanted away from him. He wasn't a good person. Something had warped him. While I had chosen not to speak to deal with my pain, he had chosen to deal with his by hurting others.
She's mute, dickhead, not deaf, Nash snarled.
A crooked grin that didn't meet his eyes touched Wes's lips. Did his friends not see this? Did they not know he was hiding pain that haunted him and made him this horrible person?
Don't mind me, sugar. I'm an asshole,
he said, as if he were apologizing. But apologizing for what? Kissing me? Cheating on his girlfriend? Being an all-around heartless jerk with every word that came out of his mouth? Those who were damaged weren't fixable. I knew that all too well. Anyone who tried to fix him would fail. But people weren't born cruel. Life made them that way. At least, that was what one of my counselors told me when she tried to talk to me about my father. I made a blatant shift away from West and held my head high. The hard glare I shot him was more than any words could say. Thankfully, he got the message, and he turned and walked away. I watched him go, wondering if there was someone who knew why he was acting out this way. Someone who knew the truth behind his cruel spirit. His girlfriend didn't, or she wouldn't have broken up with him like that. He held himself with a confidence that turned heads, and I guess no one noticed anything deeper. Much as I knew he was bad news and wanted to hate him, I'd heard him talking to his mother, heard him tell her he loved her, heard the pain in his voice.
Don't go there,
Nash warned from beside me.
West ain't good, sweetheart. He's one of my best friends, but he's poison for girls like you. He don't care about anyone as much as he cares about West.
Nash didn't have to worry. I wasn't going anywhere near West. We had been close enough once, and he didn't even seem to remember. Our kiss wasn't something he thought about all weekend like I had. Still, West needed to be saved. Someone had to get close to him, to reach him. No one had been able to save my father, and horror had followed in his path of destruction. West was in desperate need of help. That much I knew. I also knew I wasn't that person for him. I had my own demons to survive.
I love you, Mama. Chapter 4. West. Where's Brady? Nash asked as he sat down at our table in the cafeteria. Ain't seen him. Probably with that good-looking cousin of his, I replied, trying to act as if I hadn't had her in my arms while her kiss shocked the hell out of me. Damn, that kiss had been sweet. I'd laid in bed that night thinking about how she'd felt, her hands on my chest and her body leaning into me. For that one moment, I'd been able to forget. I hadn't thought about my life and what I was facing any time I went home. But then she'd made a small whimper, and it had snapped me out of my delirium. The girl couldn't speak, and I was pressing her against a tree and taking what I needed. God, I was a monster. She didn't deserve that. I'd needed to get away from her, so I let her go, and I'd walked off. I hadn't even been able to look at her when I broke away. One glimpse at those lips swollen from our kiss, and I'd have been right back at it. She wasn't just beautiful. She felt good, too. Not to mention that if Brady found out I'd kissed his cousin, we'd end up beating the shit out of each other. I deserved it, sure. She was too sweet for me. She really can't talk. I was in second period with her, said Asa Griffith, the other running back on the team. He'd been playing ball with us since elementary school. I figure, if a girl looks like that and can't bitch, then she just might be perfect. Nash, who was sitting down at the table, jumped in. Don't be an ass. She's Brady's cousin. He sounded pissed. I'd seen the way he was looking at her this morning in the hall. He'd been taken with her real damn fast, and if I was honest with myself, I didn't like that. I'm being serious. She's gorgeous and can't talk. Does it get better than that? Asa asked. I wasn't going to say anything. As frustrating as Rayleigh could be, I didn't wish a life of being mute on anyone. I knew Asa was joking, but it was too cold. He wasn't thinking about what he was saying. She was at the field party Friday night. Brady made it clear she was off mentally and not someone he wanted any of us moving in on, Riker added to the conversation as he sat down across from his cousin. She's not just mute, but, like, her mind isn't right. Nash studied Riker a minute as if he didn't agree with him. She didn't seem off. I agreed with him. Maggie wasn't off in the head, that much I knew. Brady was making that shit up. The girl was intelligent. Her eyes were enough to prove that. There had been anger and disappointment in them as she glared at me. She had seen me at my worst, and I had wanted her to. After that kiss, I wanted her to steer clear of me. I wasn't the kind of guy who got close to someone who was sweet. Yes, seeing her at the party had sent a jolt of relief through me, but I'd let it register for only a moment before putting an end to it. Right now, I couldn't deal with anything but my family. Last night, as I'd listened to my mother crying softly in the living room, I knew I didn't have it in me to be nice to any girl, not even a girl like her. Riker rolled his eyes. You know this because what? You looked at her? Sure, she's nice to look at, but if she's not right in the head, then it's screwed up to move in on her. Whatever. Can we talk about something more interesting? Gunner grumbled from the end of the table. I didn't add to the conversation because I knew better, but also because I knew her. It had been like she'd seen through me, seen my thoughts, and she understood. But she also expected more from me. That had been hard to swallow. For some crazed reason, I didn't want to let her down. At the same time, I wanted her to hate me enough so she never came near me again. We got a football game to win. We go and screw with our star quarterback's cousin, and we're messing with the team. All Brady needs in his head right now is football, not stressing over your horny asses, Riker said. It was a good point. If we were taking state this year, we needed Brady focused on one thing and one thing only, football. I had to win the state championship for my dad. He wanted it. He'd been saying that my senior year was our year. I was determined to give him that, no matter what I had to do. Forgetting that kiss wasn't going to be easy, but I didn't regret showing Maggie the ugliness from this morning. I'd lashed out and acted a way my mother would have been horrified by, but I'd seen the look in her eyes, and I knew she'd gotten the message. I wasn't a good guy. I wasn't anyone she needed to get to know or trust. When I walked into the house after football practice that evening, the table was set like we were a normal, happy family. After I was born, this was the house my parents brought me home to from the hospital. It was the only home I had ever known. Yet the safety I once felt here was gone. Now I faced fear daily, hoping for a miracle. My mother had prepared dinner just like she had most of my life. She was still pretending the best she could. I knew she prayed for that miracle, too. Whenever she could, she acted as if life hadn't turned on us 2 years ago when my father was diagnosed. Tonight, Mama even had fresh flowers on the center of the table. The basket beside them was full of freshly baked bread. She was baking a lot of bread lately. It was her way of coping, I had decided. "You're home," she said with a smile that didn't meet her eyes. "How was practice?" This was how she dealt with things, smiling, putting up a happy front. I wasn't sure if she was trying to help me get through this, or if it was the only way she could handle it. Dad just let her do whatever. He didn't force her to face the truth. He adored her. Always had. Our house wasn't big and fancy like the one she had grown up in, yet she loved it. The way she took care of it and made it feel warm and inviting was proof that she was proud of the life that Dad had given her. Not once did she speak about her past or the life she left behind when she married Dad. "It was good. We're ready for Friday night. I feel confident we got this," was my reply. Because, like Dad, I couldn't let her down. If she wanted to pretend life was normal, then I would pretend with her. "Dad eating with us?" I asked, wondering if he was better today. When I'd left this morning, he'd still been sleeping. No vomiting, and last night had seemed quiet. She beamed at me, and the light in her eyes seemed almost real.
Yes, he is. He's just getting dressed now after his shower. He's looking forward to hearing all about practice. I think he's more excited about Friday's game than you are.
He was excited, but would he go? Last year, he hadn't been this bad. He'd been able to sit up in the stands and watch. But now, I couldn't imagine him sitting out there. Things had taken a bad turn the past month, and he wasn't getting better. I didn't want to shorten the time I had with him because he was going to my games when he should be resting.
"What's for dinner?"
I asked, changing the topic. Dad and football were hard to talk about. I had grown up loving football because it was what Dad loved most in the world, second only to his family. It was how we bonded. All those days of him tossing me the ball in the backyard, and the mornings we woke up early to go running together before school. It was us, and us that was slowly fading away.
"Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and collard greens. Oh, and of course cornbread. Your daddy loves his cornbread with his collard greens."
She was making all of Dad's favorites. He would hardly be able to eat anything. Didn't matter to her, though. She was doing it for him because she didn't know what else to do. I understood that. I would sit at this table and talk to him about practice and the upcoming game like he would be there when we won the state championship. I wanted him there. I wanted to win it. I wanted him to see it happen. But I wasn't sure that was realistic. All we could do was keep doing the things that made Dad happy, even if inside we were both falling apart. He wasn't just a husband to Mama. He was her best friend. They had been inseparable my whole life. Next year I wanted to play SEC football, but could I leave her alone? With Dad not here, how did I continue with my dreams? With our dreams?
"Go on ahead and wash up. I'll get the glasses filled with ice, then I'll go see if your dad is ready to eat," she said, still smiling.
Still trying to seem happy when I knew her heart was breaking, just like mine.
"Yeah, okay,"
I replied. I didn't have it in me to say much else. I headed for the stairs, then stopped. I needed her to know that she wasn't alone, that when this was over, she would have me. Mama had always seemed like this beautiful, fragile flower that Dad protected. But over the past year, I had found out that she was made of steel. She never once cracked in front of Dad, no matter how hard it got. She was right there beside him while I wanted to curl up and weep like a baby. I turned around to face her. "I love you, Mama," I said, needing her to know. I was in this with her. She wasn't alone. When Dad was gone, I wouldn't let her be alone. Her eyes filled with tears I knew she wouldn't shed. Then she nodded.
"I love you too, baby."
That was enough for now. I wasn't ready to cry, not in front of her, and I didn't think I could handle seeing her tears either.
Stay Out of My World. Chapter 5. Maggie. I sat on my bed looking out the window. Tonight, Brady had invited several guys over to watch game tapes, whatever that meant. Aunt Coralie had made sure I knew I was welcome to go down and watch with them if I wanted to. But I wasn't doing that to Brady. Instead, I was sitting here and watching to see if West would come over. As angry as he'd made me this morning, that look in his eyes he tried so hard to disguise had been nagging at me. I wanted to despise him, or even just be indifferent to him, but I couldn't seem to get him out of my thoughts. I'd been so sure he was a monster after his performance in the hallway, but later I'd watched him shove a guy against the wall and take a pair of glasses from him and then hand them back to a terrified-looking ninth grader. It had been so quick that if I hadn't been studying him, I would have missed it. Cruel, heartless people didn't do that. They didn't stand up for the weak. West was one big contradiction. But I still wouldn't trust him. That much I knew. Just because he spoke kindly to his mother and helped a kid being picked on did not mean I would form any attachment to him. Yes, he had kissed me, and yes, I had liked it. And yes, I was curious about whatever secret he was keeping from everyone. But I wasn't one to let a guy turn my head. I had done that once in junior high school. He'd been a year older than I was and beautiful. I thought he really liked me, but then I'd found out he was just using me to get to my friend. After finding out he'd asked her to the homecoming dance, I had come home in tears. Mom had sat on the sofa with me and we'd eaten popcorn, chocolate ice cream with hot fudge, and pizza. She was always there when I hurt. She always knew how to make me smile. I shoved the memory away. I couldn't think about that. I missed her too much. I pulled the blanket up over my arms and tucked it under my chin, then rested my head against the wall. Wes's eyes were going to haunt me. Were all his friends blind to his behavior? Did they just accept it? When I'd seen him kissing Ray Lee this afternoon, she clearly didn't stay mad at him long and was rubbing all over him by the last bell. I'd wanted to be her for a second. Now that I knew how it felt to be in his arms, I had one weak moment where I'd wished he'd been the boy I thought he was Friday night. Then I remembered he was standing there kissing a girl he'd treated terribly. Was that his apology to Ray Lee? Did she forgive him so easily? Probably. I'd seen that kind of warped relationship with my parents. If she only knew how unhealthy it could become. Guys who look like West made girls forget themselves. I had watched it so many times. When you are silent, you can observe so much more. I see others' mistakes more easily, and people feel safe saying things around me they wouldn't normally say because they know I won't repeat them, or because they confuse being mute with being deaf. For instance, two of my six teachers today had spoken extra loudly, as if I couldn't hear them when they addressed me in class. It was comical. I was used to it by now, but it still made me laugh inside. I wondered how it would feel to laugh again, to laugh right out loud, to feel the sound of it on my tongue. But knowing that my mother was gone and that I had made sure my father paid for his crime, could I ever laugh again? Could I hear my own voice and not break into a million pieces? A knock at my bedroom door startled me, and I turned to see the knob slowly turn. I watched as the door eased open and Nash's face came into view. His eyes were just as startling against his dark skin as they had been earlier.
"You want company?"
he asked, a sheepish grin tugging on his lips. He was flirting with me. Several times today he'd appeared at my side and talked to me, knowing I wouldn't talk back. I hadn't expected that kind of attention, but I was certainly getting it from Nash. At first I was wary of him, but he'd been nothing but kind to me. He never went beyond my comfort zone, and I had watched him with other people. The others at school all seemed to love him, even the teachers. Although I wasn't in the mood for company, nor was I sure it was a good idea that he was up in my room, I shrugged. It wasn't an invite exactly, but I hoped it wasn't rude either.
"Good. They're boring me down there,"
he said. I tried to manage a smile, but it didn't happen.
"You know,"
he continued as he sat down on the edge of my bed, facing me as I stayed curled up in the window seat,
"school didn't suck today with you to look at."
I ducked my head and studied the blanket I was covered up with. He was going to flirt some more. I wasn't used to this. Sure, I had had boyfriends before everything happened. That had been different, though. We hadn't been kissing or hanging out. It was more of a social thing that happened only at school or on the phone at night. My mother had been very overprotective, and I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16. Once, I'd also been a cheerleader and had a lot of friends. But that all changed, and over the past 2 years, I'd lost that part of me.
"I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable or embarrass you. I'm sorry. I was just trying to make your transition to a new school easier."
He was handsome and sweet. The kind of guy I would have liked in my former life. The kind of guy that any girl would like. I could ignore him and he would go away, but I wasn't going to be rude. He was my cousin's friend and, so far, my only almost friend in town. I reached for the notebook and pen I had left lying beside me after finishing my homework. He deserved something from me. I would like a friend here.